Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Alan Jay is a dynamic, multi-award-winning Scottish vocalist and has been a constant feature in the world of dance music on the LGBTQ plus music scene. He has worked with and released singles through Digital Room Records Austria, Energize Records UK, Pumpin UK, Sobel Nation Records USA, DMN Records Germany, and most recently working with American label Moore Music. Alan originally trained and worked in musical theater before making the break into the music industry. He has gained chart success across many international charts with singles such as Almost in Heaven, Breaking My Heart, The Best Is Yet to Come, I Go to Pieces, Gotta Get Through This, and many more. His music credits include finalists for Entertainer of the Year at the Icon Awards in 2015, Best Male Artist at the Reloaded Music Awards in 2015, Best Artist at the LGBTQ Plus Music Awards in 2016 for his collaboration with Rosala, Best Music Artist at the G10 Media Awards in 2021, Best LGBTQ Plus Vocalist at the G10 Media Awards in 2019 and 2020, and the Entertainer of the Year at the Proud Scotland Awards in 2023. Alan has performed across the world, headlining his own shows and supporting such acts as Venga Boys, Shane Ward, Lucy Spraggan, Wigfield, Blue, S Club, Gareth Gates, Robin S, Sunita, at many prides, festivals and events. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Alan Jay.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am doing very well, thank you. Very kind of you to ask. I am actually in sunny Brighton in the UK. So that's where I am today. And the sun is shining, so I'm very glad.
Okay, so now let's dive straight in. Let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in this creative world. And how did that journey progress?
Well, I would say I've always wanted to. I mean, my gran, bless her, who's no longer with us, I think she used to joke that I was singing and dancing before I walked and talked. I've just always wanted to do it. And I think I was six, I think, the first time that I did a proper show. I just did lots of theatre school, all that kind of thing. And then when I was 11, I got accepted to a dance school. But my parents at the time very much thought, let's keep all that stuff outside and do school and everything. And then when I got to 16, they knew that that's all I wanted to do. So then I trained in musical theatre, did my course, left for London, and then was just lucky to get right into the industry. So I've always done it, to be honest. And I feel very lucky because I do what I love for a living. So I just feel so fortunate.
So when you said you fell right into the industry, was that in musical theatre or doing singing? What aspects?
Yeah, so I trained in musical theatre and most stuff that I did was all mainly guided by singing. Singing and dancing mainly to begin with. So lots of different shows, like corporate shows as well. London's got so many things that go on that are fantastic. There's so much creativity there that's amazing. So I was very lucky that when I'd obviously done various things throughout my whole life, little bits and pieces, but I just got with some good agents and it just all kind of continued from there. And it was a bit later on that I fell into the music side, but I've been very, very fortunate, shall I say.
So have you ever thought about diving into musical theatre more professionally or more like intently?
Well, it was always professional.
Professional.
Yeah. So I've been there, so I've done that. I mean, the West End eluded me. I was someone who, jokingly amongst my friends, would always get to the finals for shows and then never got the show. I've been lucky to do, you know, a lot of various musicals and stuff as well, and some new musicals, which it was very exciting because it's always lovely to be part. I did a show called Diamond, which was based in East London during the Second World War. So I've done some really nice shows. And then I think I kind of realised the more and more, although I still love theatre, I still love it now. Music's really my was the passion. Music was where, and it's music from the shows. It was music from whatever I'm doing. It's always, that's the side of it that I love. I absolutely love is music.
So you referenced that you'd been in shows, new shows in inverted commas.
Yeah.
What is the difference being in a show that's starting fresh and new compared to being in like a Chicago or a Cats or My Fair Lady that has that history of people knowing it?
I think the thing is that for when you're in the industry, for example, I got, when we say we get to the final, it means you're literally amongst the last couple of people to be decided amongst of all the ones that have been there before. But I think I would call that a commercial musical. Any of the commercial musicals, which is, you know, you've got your Les Mis, you've got your Phantom, you've got all those shows, you are playing that part and you literally will take over from the person before you. And you, although you'll be able to put a very small part of yourself on that, that character is that character, and you go and play it. And not that that's different for new musicals, it's just if you are in the creative process of it, you do get to put a bit more of a stamp on those things because you're from the very beginning. You know, you're there with the composer, the writer, you're there at the very beginning helping it be developed, and that's very exciting. And sometimes these shows don't go places and sometimes they do, but I would say that's maybe the difference. Although, you know, to be in a large commercial musical is phenomenal as well. You know, there's no denying that, but yeah, they're just slightly different processes, I would say.
It's interesting because here in South Africa, the newer shows sort of struggle in the sense because it's like everyone knows Chicago, everyone knows My Fair Lady, everyone knows Joseph, so they will be on and they'll be on for a period and they'll be successful. But something new that comes up, like, for example, Dear Evan Hansen was recently on, and it really struggled because it was the first time it was on stage in South Africa. And the people are like, we don't know what this is. Let's keep going to Mamma Mia. Let's keep going to My Fair Lady because we know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, I've been quite lucky to do a lot of large sort of, I don't really know what you would call them, sort of one-off, one-nighters where there's like big awards things. So I've done Mamma Mia and we'll rock you at Wembley, but they were just for one night. It wasn't the tour or the show. And these companies want these things because they're so well known. So everyone knows the music, everybody knows the songs. And I think that's sometimes where shows struggle that are new, because what you've got to do is get people listening to those soundtracks so that you then love the song you want to hear. You want to hear not just to be sung, but be performed, and also within context of the show, of where it actually sits within the story. That is a little bit harder. And it's, I think as well for some newer shows, very sadly, as everything does in the world, it all evolves around the money to promote that, to get it in front of the people to come and buy the tickets. That's always hard and difficult, you know. But there's so many fantastic shows out there that haven't become the big commercial musical, but there's still absolutely amazing music in them. So you just hope that at some point they might come back round again, or it's, you know, they'll tour or something, which does happen. And it's good that it does, because there's some great, you know, there's some great shows. One of my favourite shows is The Witches of Eastwick. I mean, I absolutely love the show. It was here, it was in London for years, and the music is amazing. It's just a fabulous show, and it does come back. I mean, it was in West End for a while. It's toured. It's done various other places. But yeah, it sort of comes back and forth, and it's got some fantastic songs in it, like amazing songs and stuff. Yeah.
So now let's move away from the theatre and into your music creative world. So how do you create a song?
Well, I'm not a writer. I don't write. But I'm very lucky to work with various writers and producers and remixers. And I have released some originals, which have been fantastic. And then I've also done quite a lot of covers, which is always a little bit daunting because obviously you will always be compared to the original. But sometimes it's exciting to take a song that you really like and just get a little bit of a twist. And not everyone's going to like it, of course they're not. But if you can release something that you're proud of, I think that goes a long way. And I've been very fortunate and lucky in the music side of things to have those opportunities, which has been great.
How do you choose which songs you're going to cover? I know it's ones that you love, but I mean, I'm sure there are millions of them. So how do you narrow it down and say, okay, those are the ones I want to do?
Well, with me, what's happened is it's actually been sort of people that I've been working with that have sort of suggested, I mean, Club Tropicana, which is obviously my track stage now, that was mentioned by a few people that I work with, but I was very nervous about it because some of the other covers I've done, it's not been such an iconic song, I would say, whereas this one, obviously, it really is. And it's very much, it's George Michael, it's Wham, it's massive. Do you know what I mean? So that's a bit more daunting to cover that type of thing. But I think I think the way I've done it over the past few years is like if I've thought of a song that I think, do you know what, I think that might work for me. And then you speak to your team. You know, I speak to my manager, I speak to the record label, I speak to the producers, and we sort of come together and think, okay. And sometimes, you know, we might lay the vocals, see how it all comes across, and then decide not to release certain tracks. And other ones you do, and then by the process, you know, of working with whatever producer you're working with at the time, they come back with something and you put a different spin on it and you're like, oh yeah, I'm feeling this, I'm liking this. And so I think it's more collectively, I'll maybe initially think of songs that I think, oh, I'd love to do that. And then you speak to your team around you just to sort of go, right, what do we think of this? Because sometimes you love a song, but it just doesn't suit your voice at all. You just love the song. Yeah. It's a totally different thing altogether. So it's just sort of all together. We work in it as a team, I would say.
You reference about people not necessarily enjoying your versions or the covers because they stand hard. Fans of the originals, obviously it's taken a moment or a while for you to get used to, in inverted commas, the negativity or the trolls or the comments. How do you get past that and let that go?
For anyone that's been in the industry a while, and I've been, you know, it's like I say, it's all I've ever done. And I've done lots of different things, you know, news shows and like done different music, I've done voiceover for Disney. I did various things that was completely different. But there's always going to be certain things, and this happens to everyone in this industry, whether you're an A-list celebrity or you're just left college, it happens to us all, where you don't get everything that you go for. So you've got to take it on board, but constructively, and you think, there's always going to be trolls and stuff that are just going to give you negativity and slag you off, basically. But sometimes people don't like what you've done, but they're not necessarily being horrible about it. And sometimes that's okay, because we all like different things. And I think in this industry, you've got to be thick-skinned anyway, because there's always going to be something that you would love to do. Like some of the stuff that I would have loved to do, and there's been a few occasions where I've been in the mix to be a support act for some big acts, and it's not happened. And obviously, it's a bit gutting. You know, you're a bit devastated. But at the same time, the next thing comes along and you're lucky enough to go and do that. Everything's a journey and you've got to... And you're not going to please everybody. So I think you've just got to be very... If you work hard on something and you're proud of what you're releasing, then I think that's all you can do. Not everyone's going to like everything, and you're going to get some people that are going to be very negative, and you're also going to get lots of lovely people who are giving you nice feedback. So you've just got to take the rough with the smooth, I suppose. And I think that's the only way that I think of it. Like, not going to please everyone, but those that I do please, I'm very grateful for.
And I think it's not only necessarily the entertainment industry. Any person who decides to follow their passion, whatever industry it is, in order for a person to grow and learn and experience and to make mistakes, in inverted commas, because I don't like the word mistakes, it comes with a territory that people are going to put you down, say you can't do it, you're not good enough. Even the person's own brain will tap into that, like, oh, you can't do it because of societal conditioning. So it's just about stepping up and putting that out, and also stepping out of ego, because a lot of that is ego, in inverted commas, that is self-sabotaging you.
Like you say, any industry, if you're working hard at something and you're putting a lot into it, you've got to understand, no matter who you are, that that's not going to suit everyone. So you can't always take the fact that somebody doesn't like something personally, because we all like different things, and that's okay. That's what makes the world go round. I think there's a fine line, though, isn't there? Because you've got to be confident enough in yourself and secure enough in yourself and have good people around you that are honest and constructive, but not negative for the sake of it. And if you've got that, then you're lucky. And I am very fortunate that I have a really good team around me, and I have for quite a long time. And it really helps, because it's not that they'll always agree with me, and it's not that they'll always say, oh, that's amazing, but we're very honest and very open, and it just makes for like you take, you know, constructive criticism that you can take on board and you can change some things, and that all helps. But they're coming from a good place, not a bad place.
Yes. Remind me, have you done a music video yet for the Club Tropicana?
Oh yes, it's out there. It's on YouTube. It's going on. Like, we went very, very differently from the original, because obviously the original was so iconic. George Michael looking absolutely gorgeous in a swimming pool. We went really different, and our theme behind it, I was lucky to work with Chris Kesiak again, who is a fantastic videographer and photographer, and we've done, this is about my fourth music video with him, and you know, the other music videos I've done with others have been great and I've enjoyed them, but there's a real connection with Chris that he just gets what we're going for. And our vibe about it was, the idea was thinking that you've all had a night out, but you're not quite ready to finish the party yet. So we all go back, we have a couple of drinks, we have a bit of a dance, and that becomes our Club Tropicana, where we're all enjoying ourselves, we're having fun. That was our thought process behind the video, and it came out exactly as we wanted it. So that's great.
What else is coming up over the next period of time?
I'm back in the studio actually this week, which is quite exciting. We're going to put out something very fun and very camp for Christmas. And I've just got loads of festivals, events and prides already booked in to promote the single all over the place. I have also just extended to Pantomime, which is a massive thing here in the UK.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't say anything about it because it's not been announced. And so yes, the yesterday here is looking really busy with some music, some shows and a lot of festivals and a lot of prides and gigs and stuff. So it's going to be fun. And hopefully we'll have some sunshine this summer. That would be very lovely. Yeah, it'd be very nice indeed. If we get that, I'll be very happy. I'll be very happy indeed.
So is this the first time you're doing pantomime?
I've done pantomime. I won't give my age away, but let's just say for many, many years. I was 6 the first time I did pantomime. So from quite a long time I've done pantomime.
We also have the pantomime here in Johannesburg, South Africa. And I find this fascinating. What do you feel is the appeal that people keep going and want to see and enjoy that type of show and production?
I think the thing is with pantomime, it's a different form of theatre where it really does bring everyone together. And I mean that on different levels. What you've got in pantomime over in the UK especially, we bring people from all different aspects of the industry. So music artists, with theatre artists, with comedians, with ventriloquists, we bring everyone together and put them into one show. And then that show, from a point of view of being in the industry, is completely mixed. But for an audience point of view, there's enough jokes that fly over the kids' heads, and there's enough jokes though for to keep the kids occupied. And so on two levels, it kind of gets adults and children, which means as a family, they can come and enjoy it for very different reasons. And so it's just very unique that way. And I think that's why every year it's still as busy, because it's the one thing you can all go to together. You know, you can take your teenage kids who will get the naughty jokes that the young ones won't get. You know, mum, dad, aunties, uncles, grannies can all go. They all get the humour. There's songs, there's fabulous costumes. And it just all comes together at one time. And there are certain shows that do that, but pantomime is very unique that way. And like I say, it brings all different elements. You know, I've been lucky to do panto with like various UK, big UK artists and stuff. But you also have, you know, unusual things like ventriloquists that you know I would never get to work with. We've got illusionists that you maybe have if you're doing a certain show. Been some great, you know, great things, and it all comes together as one to create this kind of magic show for Christmas, which is great.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys for all the hard work that you do in your creative process. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the listening from song one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware, massive uptick of physical around the world. A couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyl sold, the biggest since 1990. Last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. Obviously, there needs to be a certain amount of exchanges every day for a product to be in the basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids that are diving into this world, not necessarily the older nostalgic people in inverted commas. And yet then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your perceptions and observations of the landscape at the moment?
It's difficult because I know for a lot of people that I would say follow me or and stream my music, etc., they wouldn't want a CD. So it then becomes difficult when you're working with the label to decide whether or not you go, because obviously these things have to be produced. And vinyl is amazing and it looks fantastic. And if you can use it, brilliant. But I think we also live now where people don't have CD players. Most cars don't come with CD players. Vinyl, if you're not into vinyl, you don't have a way of playing it. And although it's amazing to get things like, you say, the packaging and nice photographs on there. And obviously, when I started in the music industry, we were CDs were a massive thing for us to be able to promote. But it's just that a lot of people don't want it. And although there's a lot that do, you've really got to gauge whether or not when you release anything, is there going to be enough people that want it in order to justify getting it produced? Because also these things are more and more expensive now to get produced. The only thing that is difficult is things, the streaming services, obviously, as independent artists like myself working with independent labels, it doesn't generate the money. It just doesn't. You know, it makes some money, but it doesn't generate lots of money. But then what I do love is, for example, Club Tropicana last week went into the UK pop club chart top 40 at number 36. It's raised my profile. My manager's been contacted to do some more events. And during that period, we can go out and we can do a lot more things. And you're then live again. You're out there performing live. But it's a bit of a journey, I think, that goes back and forth between whether or not someone's willing to buy the product. So if you've got a CD or vinyl, whereas if you already subscribe to streaming services and if you've got any of these devices, you know, you can just stream them and you can listen to them whenever you want. And so I suppose it's about giving your audience what they want. And for me, at the moment, my followers, I would say, and the people who have been really supportive of me are all very much about streaming services, not physical CDs. But I know that's different depending on different artists. So yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a little bit of a minefield because obviously, to go in and record and to work with producers, everything needs to generate, like it does in any industry, we all have to generate money to make it work. And that's a lot different for massive artists than it is for us independent artists. So it's a bit of a tricky one. I would say, personally, we sort of gauge it from release to release. Yeah. Do you know what? We gauge it with that way. Because it's the only way we can do it, to be honest. Because, yeah, everything's always changing.
Being a part of the LGBT community and being in the industry for a number of years, had you ever felt the pressure or the influence or peer pressure from anyone to say, okay, you can't be who you are? Because obviously, in the beginning, when you first started performing, it was much harder. Nowadays, it's Sam Smith. Everyone's sort of out and doing their thing. But in the beginning, did you ever feel like you needed to be a persona that you were not?
So I am quite, how can I put this? I've always been me and yeah. I haven't allowed, you know, I came out at 16. I was in Scotland. There was a lot of homophobia in our direction, but I never let it stop me being me. And I've always said, I'm an openly gay artist. That's who I am. That's what I do. And I've never really let it stop me doing things. However, yes, there has been various moments. And the way I would say it is that what was kind of said to me, but they tried to sort of wrap it up in cotton wool and not say it quite as horrible as it sounds. Yeah. That it was said, okay, you can be gay, but don't be that gay. That's one of those situations where you just go, well, no, I'm going to be me. And I have to say, I have at times dulled down maybe the campness and stuff, but I never let that be the influence of what someone said to me. It's because of what I've, so for example, I was very, very fortunate to do a release with Rosala, who is Queen of Rave, and we did a song called Breaking My Heart. Now, when Niall wrote it, he wrote it more of a love duet. Yes. Me and Rosala are very much like, no, we are two friends. Now, the lyrics lend themselves to the way that we ended up. What we did was, I'm singing about breaking up with my partner and she's singing about breaking up with her partner. And the way we filmed the video, we did play it down slightly so that when you first watch, you think, oh, they're singing about each other. And then it's, no, we're two friends helping each other through a breakup. That's the way we did it. So things like that, I've done it for because it's story. It's story based. It's a story based song. But I've with that, when I'm just being me, I'm like, no. But also, obviously, when you do theater and stuff, you play parts that are completely not you. That's the whole point in acting. But when it comes to me, my music and what I do, I'm very much like, no, this is who I am. And again, like we've said a couple of times, not everyone's going to like it.
Yeah.
This is who I am. But I do think that it is an element still of that you can be gay, just don't be that gay.
Still.
Yeah, there is still an element. Not towards me, because I've been in gay for long enough. But I think there is for some things, yeah. It's still there's still a bit of it there, although it is getting less and less and less all the time, but it's still a bit of it there. There is still a bit of that sort of, oh, we don't mind that, but oh, not too much, you know that.
Yes, yeah. I was speaking to Nate James, who's also LGBT, and he mentioned, like, they were saying, everyone was saying, yeah, be who you want, but then when Sam Smith started to be more gay, and they were like, oh, no, that's too much, like, dial it down. So it's like...
Yeah. I mean, the people that I think is just, well, incredible, full stop, because he's got one of the most amazing voices, and he very much is Adam Lambert. I just think he is 100% himself. He is a phenomenal singer. And he, you know, he, like me, he wears his guy liner, he's got a bit of makeup on, does his thing, and he's just himself. And you should be able to be yourself. No matter who you are, you should be able to be yourself. And as long as you can be comfortable, and again, if you're not harming anybody, then why is anybody going to have a negative towards that? You know, we all live our lives the way that we want to, and that's how it should be.
Exactly. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 years, 5 hours, 50 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of specific songs of theirs, what songs would you play of them?
So first would be Danny Minogue. I love when Danny in the early 2000s was doing all the club and dance music, which is 100% me. That is what I'm all about now. I have been for, well over, 13, 14 years that I've been releasing so Danny Minogue, definitely. Probably one that stands out for me with her is Put the Needle on It. I just think she's done some fantastic ones.
Yeah.
So definitely her. Probably Cascada, because I think Cascada, I've just got some banging tunes, and I love the energy that is brought on stage by Natalie Bleeds, the singer, is just phenomenal as well. Just absolutely love that. You've got to have a bit of Cher. You've got to have Cher. You can't not that. You've got to do that. So probably a bit of Cher. So who have I got? Dan. I can't have Danny without her sister Kylie. You've got to. I can't leave her out. And you actually, what I love about Kylie is, she has been in the industry for so long, and she has done so many things. You know, she's done films, she's done TV, music's her thing, and that's how I feel. Music is my thing, but I love doing the other bits and pieces as well. She's been around for so long, and yet still lots of different generations just watch her, love to dance to it. They know her songs. She's just managed to keep things changing all the time through each, you know, and then bring generations together where friends of mine who are now mums take their children to go and see Kylie. Oh God, last, I don't know, because there's just so many. Well, I have to say Adam Lambert. I have to see him. I have to say, I love his music. I love all the stuff. And I love Queen. I just love all the songs. And what I love is he's done some really great things. Changed versions of like his version of like Holding Out for a Hero. Like he's just done a lot of good things. Then he's jumped into the musical theatre stuff. He's also been with Queen. Just an amazing, amazing artist, and what a voice. So yeah, that's my five. There you go.
So Alan, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on. To all your listeners, please head over to Alan J with two L's. So it's ALLANJY.com. Follow me. Please support the music if you can and if you like it. And well, I hope you like it, and press play.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CELEBSAVANT.